several years ago, I know Pastor Clint alluded to it last week. Several years ago, I had to give I got to give a Christmas sermon, and I entitled it "Christmas Changed My Life." And I had suggested in that sermon that when you're in the grocery lineup and people are bah humbugging and Christmas, it's so much, blah, 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 that you could respond and say, "Oh, I love Christmas. Christmas changed my life." That's an opener, right? People are like, "What? Christmas changed your life?" Well, yeah, Christmas changed my life because Christmas is Jesus, God with us. And that forever changed my life. And it's an opening for you to tell your story, your testimony. Well, ever since that sermon and the subsequent years, we have used the Sundays of Advent to hear some testimonies from our own body. Because, you know, we don't know. We look across the room. We think everybody's just, you know, we kind of figure that we know their whole story. No, we don't. And so it's so great to hear what God has done, how Christmas has changed other people's lives, right? Well, this morning we're going to hear Andrew Vandeleur. Come on up.
Good morning, everyone. And thank you, Catherine, for allowing me to come up and do this. I appreciate it. This week's been a good week of reflection, and a lot of different things been pulling at me, trying to get me not to do this testimony, but I've given it a few times before, so I'm not too worried about it. And but what I want to say is it's not my testimony, it's God's testimony, what he's been doing in all our lives. I just get to tell it from my perspective. A little about myself, I'm 44 years old, married for 15 years, together with my wife for 21 years. We're raising four cubs, two of them are teenagers now, and yeah, we're having a good time. And in retrospect and in hindsight, I'm having a great time. Growing up, my mom and dad, they were part of the Catholic faith, and they brought us to church. And that was pretty much the extent of it. We didn't really discuss God or discuss anything of the Bible. We didn't read the Bible. At dinner time, we would sit down and say the Our Father, but it was a very broken and quick prayer, and that was that. My mom has always been a big worrier and an encourager at the same time. So she would often say, you know, trust God, follow God, and he'll help you in your life type thing, right? As a child, I wasn't always the best behaved child. In fact, I wasn't the best at all. I was rambunctious. I was noisy. I probably drove my parents nuts. I remember times going to church and the Catholic church and my father taking me out to the car for a good wallop, you know, calm me down and then bring me back in, and you just kind of sit there embarrassed, right? So that's kind of a bit of the Catholic faith that I experienced growing up. But nevertheless, I do feel that God was always there. He was always in the background. He was working in my life. As much as I felt about my existence, I think I felt about his existence. But there was a day where I did have an appointment with God, and I'll get back to that. Just a little bit about myself and my teenage years. I did all the wonderful things that teenagers do and shouldn't do, and listened to everyone else's testimonies, including Nicole's a week ago. You know, I was in the same boat, doing the same stuff, just living life for whatever I could get out of it for myself. And, you know, I had some friends. I had some friends that were very competitive. We played sports. We fished. You know, we were competitive in everything that was other than school. you know what I mean? Anything that we just could brag about or be proud about, we would be very competitive with. And one of the things that they were competitive, when we got to an age of being more intellectual and out of high school, we would be competing and debating on a lot of things. Like, I had a couple of friends that were atheists. And, you know, very, you know, they went to Douglas College, they're reading books like Nietzsche, God is Dead, and really some really good arguments. But a lot of it was fluff. And, you know, it challenged me to look deeper within my own faith. I had another friend who is not Middle Eastern at all. He's as Canadian as they get. And he converted to the Muslim faith. And so him and I kickboxed for years and played lacrosse for years, competed against each other. But we were always at arguments and debates about God and Christianity and Islam. That type of conversation led me into a lot of self-study, including reading bits of the Quran, reading the Hadith, reading the books of Buddha, also reading the Bible itself. So God was really stirring a lot in my life. He was really showing me what was, you know, what it was all about. And I didn't really have a doubt that God's existence, but there are times in life where, you know, you do question things. And I think that's a natural process to come to your selection or whatever, you know, process you come into faith. You know, you read the books of Buddha and he just didn't click with me. You know, he was a guy that wanted to find self-enlightenment. He got married and he left his wife. And I thought, oh, that's not really a nice guy. Comes back, you know, somewhat 8-10 years later, finds out he's got a son, hangs out for a little bit and leaves them both. I'm like, no, that's not the guy I want to be with, right? You know, and then I, you know, you start questioning a lot of things. One of the other faiths that I questioned was the Islamic faith and what the Bible compared it to. And it's the exact opposite. Our hero, our champion, our God is their villain. He's the evil one. He's the deceptor. And so it just didn't really add up to me. Atheism, it wasn't for me. Although there's some good conversations around certain things, it just didn't add up for me. So I began to, you know, search out different people on the topic. And I came across a gentleman named Dr. William Lane Craig. And he's a Christian. He is what they call an apologetics. He's a scientist, and he travels all across North America, even in Europe. And he puts on these debates at these really accredited universities, and he invites the top scientists, top minds out there, and challenges them. And they can't hold a candle to him. It's unbelievable. So I watched him, and it really helped me with my faith and the science side of behind it. I learned about guys like Kent Hovind, who is a young earth creationist and you know, very well versed in the Bible, and he shows the science in the Bible, and it really just brought my faith up. You know, I'm not an old earth creationist, I'm not a young earth, I just don't know the answers to that. But it was really interesting to see his perspective. And a lot of the stuff I used to bring in conversation to my friends because they were all about this conversation. They loved it. They loved the debate. And I'm really blessed by it. Because, you know, to not have that conversation can, you know, really hinder a relationship or a friendship. But these guys would love it, and they'd open their arms to this conversation. Well, eventually down the road, I wanted to settle down, and I wanted to marry the woman that I've been with for about 6 years, and I struggled with the whole preparation of this because I've been living a different lifestyle. You know, I mean, obviously in the 6 years together, we were faithful to one another and that's, we were together, but I still struggled with what I was doing in my past. That type of life, you know, I think it carried over on me and it didn't satisfy me. And so when I ended up proposing to my wife, we made a life of it. And, you know, I think within a week or two later, we were pregnant with our first son. And, you know, that's when God really started to stir things in my life, you know, like really looking at existence and my own reality and the life that I'm so responsible for. You know, at the end of the day, if me and my wife end up separating, you know, she's got her established parents and connections and things like that. She can go on her own. But when it's your own son, your own child, unlike Buddha, I'm not going to run away. That's my flesh and blood, right? So God was really working on me. And I think it was about the age of 29, I was really struggling with the things I've done in my past. And I was struggling with how I perceived God in my relationship and my view in him. Oftentimes when I was younger, I would go to him when I had needs. And it was almost like I was treating him almost like a genie. Like, you know, I'm sick. Oh, please, Lord, you know, please, God, help me. I need you in my life. I need you to help me here. But, you know, like that appointment came one day and I was in my apartment and I think maybe Ben was asleep and Marie was, you know, watching a show or doing something in the kitchen. And I the room was dark. I went in and, you know, I heard the voice of God and he said to me, you know, he says, you know, don't worry about your sin. It's all been taken care of. And it was a very intense moment for me, a very emotional moment for me, because I was really struggling. He got me to a boiling point of not be able to even withstand myself and what had been going on in my life. And then all of a sudden, he said to me, he says, your worry is not your sin. Your worry is how you view me and how you love me. And so in my heart, I thought, what do you mean love you? It didn't click to me like a relationship. And so he basically just said, the way you're loving me is not how we're supposed to. And he basically was telling me, you have to love me like we do as a relationship, like a father-son type thing. And that's when my world just changed.
Wow.
Completely changed. I went from a pretty pretty masculine alpha, maybe, not the kindest, nicest person, to a very gentle person, very loving and kind person. And then I give that credit to my wife, because she literally married one man and then came to faith, and also that was a different man. And, she watched me. She watched me worship alone at home. She watched me read my Bibles, go to Bible studies, just learn what I could learn, whatnot. And her faith began to grow. And so, God was doing a whole work in our household. But at the same time, both my atheist friends, both came to faith on their own.
Wow.
So God was working on them. And God was working on Marie's family, her father and her brother and... And it's just been an amazing journey, and I'm having a great time. I got sick in Mexico a few weeks back, and it was horrible. We're not sure what it was, but I'm pretty positive it was from a mosquito called dengue fever. And I'm in the hospital, and I'm freezing cold, but I've got a temperature of 103, 104, and it was miserable for me. But everyone else is, having a good time. They're in tank. Everyone else is having a good time in Cancun. They're enjoying the beach, the pool, and all that good stuff. And here I am in the room, and anytime I came out of my sleep, I just, I would thank God, and I'd pray to Him, and I opened my Bible, I'd read Psalm 1, and I'm like, okay, that's all I got for you. I'm going back to sleep type thing.
Yeah.
But, the love and support that I got, and knowing that this would pass through, I'm so thankful that I got sick. I'm so thankful for the experience that I had, the messages from people in the church and the support I got from work, because I had to take an extra week off after having 2 weeks off for a vacation. God is using all things, to draw us near to Him. And I'm not saying He made me sick, but, I got sick and I used it for His glory. And just happy to have this testimony, His testimony. So.
Yeah, so wouldn't you say that Christmas changed his life and his whole family and his friends? Oh, my. Well, okay, guys, it's December the 10th. That means 15 days only till Christmas. And I don't know about you, but our calendar, you can almost not write anything on it anymore. It just keeps getting busier and busier and busier. And all those elaborate plans I had, for the fancy baking and all the fancy cooking and how beautifully wrapped all my gifts were going to be. You know what? Now it's just like, get her done. Every year, the first gift I wrap is beautiful. I'm really into it. I pour all my creativity into that one gift. And then after that, you just throw the paper on any which way, and there's tape just every which way. And it's so funny how something that I really look forward to can turn into a horrible chore. It's just that there's such a mountain to do, and your back gets sore. Anyway, it's a busy time of year. Are you with me? Is it busy? Oh, yeah, right. Okay, so I am glad that you're here. And you know what? I am so glad that I am here because we get to escape the hustle and the bustle for just an hour or so. And we get to focus on Jesus Christ, who is, after all, the reason for the season, as they say. Okay, everybody, let's just take a deep breath together, shall we? Just maybe as you draw in, let's just say Jesus in our mind, Jesus, focusing in on Jesus. Let's just rest for a minute. Forget all the stuff. Let's just rest in Jesus for a moment. Because God is here. in this room this morning, God is here. And God is with us. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. That's Jesus. God is with us today, here. Let's just enjoy that. Let's just experience that. So our theme for Advent this year is the search for joy. For many of us, this season brings us lots of joy as we meet with friends and family and parties and all that kind of stuff. But for others, not so much. Maybe you don't have friends and family. Maybe you don't have friends and family in town, you know, and so that might not feel so good. Or maybe there's been a divorce or some other kind of separation in your family that's torn the family apart, and it's just not such a great time of year for you. Maybe getting together with family brings strife, not joy. That happens. So I don't know your particular situation. I have no idea what your particular situation is. But you know what? It almost doesn't matter. What? You know why? Our text today tells us how each of us can experience joy no matter what our circumstances are. Okay? Let's look at it. Our Advent text is Psalm 16:11, and it says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." So today we're going to look at the middle of that verse. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Some versions say, "In your presence, there is fullness of joy." So there you have it. The search for joy is over. It is found in the presence of God. Now, you might think that joy is just another word for happiness, but no, they're quite different. Happiness is about what's happening. Easy to remember. Happiness is about what's happening. But we can have joy regardless of what is happening. Happiness reacts to our circumstances, while joy transcends our circumstances. Happiness is about the self's pleasure. It often comes from worldly pleasures, while joy is derived from a self-satisfying connection with God. So there's a big difference. Joy endures hardship and trials and connects with meaning and purpose. Joy is attached to meaning and purpose. A person pursues happiness, but he chooses joy. And we choose joy by being in the presence of God. So, why do we find joy in God's presence? In his presence, all fear is gone. God is almighty. He's ruler over everything and everyone. And when we are with him, we are safe. There is security in its presence. What a need that fills in us. The other day I got an email from YouVersion. Maybe you got it too. It's that YouVersion is the Bible app that many of us have on our phones. Well, this email said that the verse most often shared, bookmarked, and highlighted this year in 2023 was Isaiah 41:10. Which reads, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And I really like the verse 2 verses later. It's Isaiah 41:13. It says, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, 'Do not fear, I will help you. That always makes me think, I know I've said it before, but it always makes me think of when I was a kid and we'd go camping and I'd have to go to the bathroom and the bathroom was down the road and it was dark out there and there was wild animals and things. But my dad, who was 6'4", a big man, he would walk with me and he would take me by the hand. And man, if I had my dad's hand in mine, I could strut down that dark road. I didn't care. I had my dad beside me, right? And that's what that verse always speaks to me. I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. That is the assurance we get when we are in God's presence. He's got us by the hand, and that gives us joy. There's wisdom in his presence. Maybe you've been wrestling with some decision and you just don't know what to do, which way to go. Often, when I'm in God's presence and I express my confusion to God, I don't know which way I should go. Should I do this? Should I do that? I don't know. And I'm calling out to God. Often, even in that prayer, he will guide me and I'll have a sense that I will know which way to go. Doesn't happen every time. but sometimes it does. And I think, oh, came away from prayer, and it's like, oh, okay, I know what I'm going to do now. But even when it doesn't happen, and he doesn't tell me right then, my confidence in God takes over my confusion, and I become willing to wait for his direction, confident in his wisdom. But God doesn't just have ultimate wisdom. He also gives it to us, which is super cool. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, that's all of us, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to you. What a promise! His wisdom is available in his presence, and that gives us great joy. And there's forgiveness in his presence. What a joy forgiveness is. I don't like admitting it, but I had a little bout of hard-heartedness and selfishness just a couple of weeks ago with a relative of mine, a cousin. She wanted help, and I simply didn't want to do it. Didn't want to do it. So we parted company. I came home, and the next morning I woke up with such conviction, such guilt. Like, oh! I poured out my sin to God, admitting my hard heart, my selfishness. Guess what? He forgave me. And he also allowed me to make plans with her to go and do that thing I didn't want to do. But you know what? I got to do it with joy. You know, you come back to the Lord, he forgives you, and it's like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that with joy. And it was wonderful. And that's how God transforms us, through forgiveness. When we see our ugliness and our sin and confess it, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sin and to purify us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. Many of you know it by heart, and if you don't, you should, especially if you struggle with guilt. Learn that verse. It will speak to you and it'll teach you. I don't have to be that hard-hearted, selfish person. I've been forgiven. I've been purified. I made it right, and it's all good, and I'm free. That's so, oh, what a blessing that is. Forgiveness is such a blessing, and when we get it, it brings us such joy. There's peace in his presence. Anxiety leaves, and peace moves in. Do you remember the anti-anxiety verse? Verses, Philippians 4:6-7. It's another great one to memorize, especially if you struggle with anxiety. And I know many of you do. Homework. Learn this verse. Repeat it every day. Like, learn it and own it and let it be a part of who you are. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There is peace in His presence. And best of all, there is love in His presence. Paul said in Ephesians 3:17-19, he says, "And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust in Him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high His love really is. And to experience His love for yourselves, though it is so great you will never see the end of it, or fully know or understand it. And so at last, you will be filled up with God Himself." That, my friends, is fullness of joy. In His presence, we experience all these things, which brings us complete and total joy. Okay, so it begs the question, how do we experience the presence of God? Being in God's presence is one of those expressions that Christians throw around, and they just assume everybody understands. Let me clear it up, especially if you happen to be new in the faith and you might think, what? How do you get into God's presence? What's that mean? Well, it's not super spiritual and it's not even mystical. It's nothing like that. It's actually quite simple and it is available to every believer in Jesus Christ. As believers, we have the incredible privilege of having access to God, the Father, anytime we want. 24/7 access. Incredible privilege. And these are some of the ways that we experience the presence of God. First and foremost, in prayer. When we focus our attention and we communicate with Him in prayer, we experience His presence. Whether we're praying Him, praising Him and thanking Him for what He's done, or whether we're crying out to Him in pain, when we speak to God, we are in His presence. Now, some of you may not be in the habit of praying to God daily. It is very easy to be consumed by the world and what's going on, that we simply forget to pray to God. Imagine, all that joy in His presence is there for the taking, and many of us simply don't do it. If you are looking for joy in your life, and I know you are, the first thing I would suggest is to cultivate a habit of spending time with God in prayer. For me, the most consistent time is first thing in the morning. Nothing gets in the way. The phone isn't ringing. There's no appointments or meetings. My early morning schedule is one that never changes. So spending time with God in the morning, well, it gets me ready for the day. Gets my heart right. gets my priorities right. And it fills me with joy as I experience all those things that I just talked about: confidence, wisdom, forgiveness, peace, and love. We can also experience God's presence when we pray with others. I've been participating in the Zoom church prayer meetings at 6:05 on Thursday mornings. If you're an early bird like me, come join us. And I have to say, from the very first meeting, I felt the Lord's presence strongly. It blessed me. So good. Prayer is the foremost way to get into God's presence, and you can do it at any time, anywhere. You can pray when you're just walking down the street. You can pray while you're commuting to work. You can pray while you're waiting in line at the grocery store, or when you're lying in bed with insomnia. How often we fill our minds with social media or the news or silly cat videos when we could be being filled with the joy of the presence of the Lord. It's a no-brainer, but we often default to these lesser things. Another way to experience God's presence is in worship. Worship brings us into his presence, much like prayer, only worship tends to be a little more emotional, a little more intimate. Music seems to open parts of our hearts that our intellect simply can't. Worship, whether you're alone in the shower or in your car, or whether you're at a huge worship concert, worship brings us into the presence of God. I often wonder why I don't worship more. It's such an enjoyable way to experience God's presence. For many of us, getting into nature brings us into God's presence. You know what I mean, don't you? Somehow, being surrounded by the wonder of God's creation brings me so close to God. I consider getting into nature as soul care. I need it. My spirit needs it. It brings me into his presence, and it fills me with joy. You know, there's a horrible misconception out there, especially among non-believers, that God is the cosmic killjoy, that he doesn't want us to have fun, that he's miserable and he wants us to be miserable. That couldn't be further from the truth. That's definitely not the God of the Bible. God wants us to have joy. Fullness of joy. God is glorified when his people experience joy in his presence. That glorifies him. And that brings him great delight. So let me encourage you during this busy season to take time to be in God's presence and to experience the joy that your soul has been searching for.